Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. So glad you're with us today. We here in the Great Lakes State have pretty much been able to take water for granted. But the Flint water crisis, coupled with 70,000 households in Detroit having their water shut off, these have forced Michigan to confront water issues in a way we really never have before. To help us learn from these water crises, my next guest thinks it's a good idea for us to look to the south, to Bolivia. That's where people fought back and won against corporate water control. Valerie Van de Pan is the former editor of the Metro Times. She contributes to the Columbia Journalism Review, the Boston Globe, and Politico, among many publications. Her guest column in Model D Media is titled, What Michigan Can Learn from Bolivia's Water Crisis. Valerie, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
Why can Bolivia teach us a few things about water?
Because the people of Bolivia have been thinking about water for decades and understand and appreciate its value. When the water was privatized there, their rates skyrocketed and they protested. They stopped paying their bills. They fought, literally, physically fought the military and the police. And eventually the water privatization was broken. The water was returned to the people. And they've been valuing it differently ever since.
In fact, the way you describe in your column in Model D Media, I mean, people died. This was really, really a hard-fought battle.
Absolutely.
But that was just step one. You say then the work began to make sure that people in Bolivia had access to safe and affordable water. What's that work been like? What's happened since?
So it's a very romantic story when you talk about, you know, all these people rose up and they fought a multinational corporation and they won the right to their water, which is very romantic. But in reality, that was only the beginning. I think it's important, though, to understand that the Bolivian people by nature understand water is a basic human right. They're coming from a place where the fundamental culture of the people believes everybody needs water and has a right to access that water, which is a different place that they're starting from than from, for example, in Michigan, where that issue is still highly contended.
Well, in fact, as you touch on the mindset of people in Bolivia towards the poor and underprivileged, it made me remember, for example, whenever the Detroit Free Press or the Detroit News would run a story about the water shutoffs in Detroit, you go through the reader comments and find things like, well, go get a job, pay your bill, or let them put a hose in the Detroit River and get their water that way. But you found very different attitudes in Bolivia towards the poor and the underprivileged.
Right. So There, no one would say something like that in Bolivia. And when you talk to people about water in Bolivia, everybody there has a very sophisticated understanding of it. And they look at it through the lens of, you know, the government isn't able to provide all of our needs. There aren't jobs for everybody. There are class issues. So, for example, there's an understanding that if you're a wealthy family, you need water and you can afford to pay for it. But if you're an elderly single man, you're probably feeble and you can't afford to work. Oh, you know, there's no job for you to have. Or if you're a single mother with many young children, you're very poor, you still have a right to water, but you cannot afford to pay the same amount as a wealthy family. So what's most interesting is that across the board, there's this understanding that some people have a bigger capacity to pay or to contribute than others, and people are willing to do that in order to ensure that everybody there has a right to that water.
Valerie, so what's happening today? Here we are 17 years after these protests in Bolivia that restored control of water to the public, in a sense, and got rid of that international consortium. Who controls water today?
So now it's a mix between public, when I say public, I mean the people, and the government, which also, you know, contributes to these water systems. But the water systems are very much in the hands of the people, and the people come together. And when I say the people, I mean across class, across culture, communities come together, and they meet to work out their water challenges. Every community has a different solution. Some of them are similar, some of them are very different, but they all come together to create their own solutions to provide for their own water. Rainwater capture is very common. People will dig their own wells. They will install their own pipes to transport the water. They will use converted car engines to pump the water from the ground, and then they'll lay pipe and let gravity transport the water once it's to the surface. There's so much innovation. Everyone using rainwater capture, even if you just use the rainwater you're capturing simply to flush the toilet, you're making use of a resource and bettering your community.
And isn't it true that, you know, here we are surrounded by water in Michigan? We, by and large, haven't let ourselves worry and ask questions about what's coming out of the tap. I mean, we're the water wonderland. So what are questions about water that people are asking in Bolivia that you believe we should be asking here in Michigan?
You know, who has the water? Is it the people's water or is it the state water? What can we do better? What is the solution? And if everybody asks, you know, for example, in Flint, what can we do to get water? What can we do to get fresh water? Who is responsible for the water? Is it our responsibility as a community, or is it the state's responsibility? And my sense is, in Michigan, there's this idea that it's the state's responsibility. But the state has failed spectacularly in its control of the water and is continuing to fail spectacularly when it comes to Michigan's water. And Michigan is such a fantastic source of fresh water. It's the largest source of fresh water on earth. And we can't just keep repeating that statistic to each other as Michiganders. We really need to take action. And we do need to come together as a community and preserve the water that we have, keep it clean, and develop new systems for distribution of that fresh water to the people, because you cannot live without water.
And as you say in your piece in Model D Media, you can take different interests, put them together, and fight for the water, and everybody doing that together. Do you believe we can do that in Michigan?
I would like to think we can. You know, there was this great story that was told to me about, there were these retired engineers. They were older Bolivians. They were all retired, but they had all been engineers. And they started working with a community to design and develop a water system for the community. And, you know, these people, nobody's being paid to develop these systems. It's not like these are jobs that are being created. These are people coming together to work together, to contribute their time to the community so that the entire community can live better. And I think that cross-class and that cross-generational commitment to something so basic is very healthy for people. You know, and this is an ongoing. This isn't a, okay, we're going to do this and it's done. This is a constant thing, you know, where, you know, how do you foster collective participation of people with different interests? How do you mobilize people to have a conscience and motivation to participate? You know, how do you get people to think about these issues, to read about these issues, and to participate in the development of a water system for themselves? And what I found most fascinating when I was in Bolivia is that these are questions that, when I would ask, you know, how are you doing your water? You know, how are you creating these new systems? They would respond with these questions. You know, it's a constant process for them of asking questions, of engaging the community, of cultivating and building on these systems that they're creating themselves.
A lot of food for thought in Valerie Vandepan's guest column in Model D Media, What Michigan Can Learn from Bolivia's Water Crisis. You can go to modeldmedia.com. And Valerie joined us via Skype. Valerie Vandepan, thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having me.